Thank you very much.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Balava Giribara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Balava Giribara Dhari.
Jaya Gopi Jana Balava Giribara Dhari.
Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana.
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 Jamuna Tira Vanachari.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Jamuna Tira Vanachari.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
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 Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajaka Charya Ashtotara Shatashishi Madhi Sivayin Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Garantara Shimam Bhagavatam Ki
Jai
Nitai Gaura Premanandi. O glories to the assembled devotees, O glories to the assembled devotees, O glories to the assembled devotees, O glories to Shri Guru and Shri Guranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate.
So today we're continuing with Canto 10, Chapter 7, and it's text 3 for today. So we'll chant responsively, text 3. Athanyadapi Krishnasyam Toka Charitam Adbhutam Manusam Lokam Asadyam Tajate Manurunda Taha Tanayadapi Krishnasyam Toka Charitam Adbhutam Manusam Lokam Asadyam Tajati Manuru Dundataham Atana Yadapi Krishnasyam Toka Charitam Adbhutam Manusam Lokam Asadyam Tajati Manurundataham There's an error on the board. The last word in the first line is Krishna's. Yeah. So there's an S missing, just by the way. Please chant. Atanayadapi Krishnasya. Toka charitam adbhutam. Manusam lokam asadyam. Tajatim manurundataham. Atanayadapi Krishnasya. Toka charitam adbhutam. You're blocking the way Krishna, Kesha Kishore, just allow the devotee to chant and then you can do it. Devotee's chanting. Manusam lokam asajyam. Tajatim manurundataham. The word for word. Ata. Oh, you want to chant? Go ahead. Go ahead. Atanyadapi Krishnasya. Toka charitam adbhutam. Manusam lokam. So the word for word. Krishnasya. Of child Krishna. Toka charitam adbhutam. They're also wonderful childhood pastimes. Manusam, as if playing as a human child. Lokam asidyam, appearing on this planet Earth in human society. Tajatam, exactly like a human child. Anurundataham, who was imitating. Okay, a translation by Srila Prabhupada for text 3. This is Parikshit Maharaj speaking. Please describe other pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality, who appeared on this planet Earth, imitating a human child and performing wonderful activities like killing Putana. Purport. Maharaj Parikshit requested Sukadev Goswami to narrate other childhood. According to the nature of these places, he exhibits his unlimited potency. That a child sitting on the lap of his mother was a are still more wonderful. Krishna's appearance on this planet, like a human being, makes us more fortunate than the demigods in the higher planets. And therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was very much interested in hearing about him. Om Gyanatimrandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamlam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitam Scha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatsaribhyas cha kripasandibhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnebhyo namo namaha. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Rama Padaswami iti namine. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami iti namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So I'll read the translation once again. Please describe other pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality, who appeared on this planet Earth imitating a human child and performing wonderful activities like killing Putana. Now, this request by Maharaj Parikshit of Srila Sukadev Goswami is in fact a request that's been repeated. That is, Srila Sukadev Goswami, he's been asked, please describe other pastimes of Lord Krishna. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he makes this particular statement of Maharaj Parikshit, his requesting, or his repeating his request that was made earlier. He puts it this way. The Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, appeared in the dynasty of Yadu. So this is the earlier request that was made by Parikshit Maharaj. Please tell me elaborately about his glorious activities and character from the beginning to the end of his life. So this was the first request that was made by Maharaj Parikshit. And that we find in the first chapter of the 10th canto. Now, of course, the request is for more of those glorious activities. And such as the one that was just narrated, we heard the very first one, or one of the activities, that was the activity of killing Putana. And here is how he puts his further request. It's a repetition of a much earlier request. And now he's saying, please describe other pastimes of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared on this planet, Earth, imitating a human child and performing wonderful activities like killing Putana. So there's been more information that's already been given by Srila Sukadev Goswami. So hence, it's gone more specific. The request is more specific. The earlier request had to do with acknowledging that Krishna appeared in the dynasty of the Yadus. And he just wanted a description of all the activities from the beginning to the end of Krishna's life. And now the request is more specific. He's saying who appeared on this planet Earth and who imitated a human child. So we've got some information already from Srila Sukadev Goswami's narration. So Maharaj Parikshit's request now, his repeated request, is more precise. So again, he wants to know about the glorious activities, but he's added the particular part that Krishna is appearing like a human child. And so in the first request, the Maharaj Parikshit used the word, I'm going to read his first request in Sanskrit, at least the first two lines, because it's irrelevant. He said, Kritavan yani vishvatma tani no bada vishtarat. So the usage of the word kritavan, Srila Prabhupada tells us, it means executed. And yani is whatever. So this indicates that all the different activities that Lord Krishna performed while present on this earth are beneficial to human society because he's executing. So it's not he's just playing like a human child, but he's executing activities, means consciously performing certain activities. So in that first request of Maharaj Parikshit, Maharaj Parikshit is indicating that understanding that Krishna's executing activities, and Srila Prabhupada explains that execution of activities, it implies beneficial for human society. So the reason this is so is that broadly speaking, whether one's a religionist, a philosopher, or just anyone in general, just by hearing of those activities of Lord Krishna, because here's Maharaj Parikshit requesting to hear. So just by, and the second time he's asking for it, so there's importance to hearing. So just by hearing the activities of Lord Krishna, one will be liberated from the cycle of material birth and death. And this is possible because simply by this hearing, so one will be able to possibly repeat this Krishna Katha, or one may chant his name, and so one becomes liberated from the corrupting influences of Kali Yuga on this particular earth. So now this is a very important point, because if one looks at these corrupting influences of Kali Yuga that this hearing is going to directly impact, those influences are such that in the Matsya Purana there's a listing of the qualities that are present in this age. So these are the corrupting influences that one has been exposed to. There's thievery, there's hatred, there's falsehood, there's fraudulence, and there's egotism, all of which actually become the norm. So this is the listing given in Matsya Purana. And in addition to that, as far as the varnas or the social divisions of society are concerned, there's a great deal of confusion in that the Brahmanas cease to study the Vedas and the Sudras become kings. So the result is that there's extreme imbalance, and there's symptoms that show this imbalance. If it wasn't enough just identifying these qualities that are present, the whole climate is one of disease and shorter life expectancy. So, I mean, here we are in the middle of this. So I was just reflecting a little bit on this. I mean, even in one's daily life, just going through progressively the karmic experiences, and of course Krishna's protection and manipulation of that karma, still One gets exposed to falsehood a great deal. you know, persons that present one thing, but behind the scenes it's something else. It's very common. The one of hatred. It's so common reading. I remember the most shocking thing I think I ever read, and I most probably would not have read it if it wasn't for the fact that some years ago when we first came to live in Naperville, the previous owners of the house had had a subscription to the local newspaper. So I would never have subscribed to a newspaper because I can't bear reading all the page after page of criminal events, because that's most of the newspaper. There's one page of political events, about five pages of criminal events, and then the sports section. So I recall in the criminal events section, there was this very dramatic case where in one of the neighboring towns, forget which one, but close by, maybe two or three towns away, maybe a decade had passed, and some woman had wanted to get married to a particular man, and the family had opposed it. So the woman and the man proceeded to brutally kill the parents. And now it was many years later, and this woman had presumably gone through very good behavior in prison. So she wanted to perform charitable work, this murderess. And she was going to be, you know, doing some of this so-called charitable work, whatever form it took. And one of the relatives of that family was interviewed. So in this report, the woman was saying, or the, yeah, it was the woman, family member, was saying, she can do her charitable work within the prison setting. We have no interest whatsoever in her charitable work. So it's very difficult to reconcile oneself with, you know, the extremely gross, sinful activity that's gone on. It can't be balanced even with some supposed, I guess, a moving into a supposedly more pious way of existence. So it really struck a chord with me, because I was thinking this particular thing of the terrible environment that one is living in, in terms of all this hatred and most horrific crimes that are performed. So so this is the listing in Matsya Purana of what Kali Yuga, actually the whole atmosphere, looks like, and we're directly experiencing it. So the statement of Srila Prabhupada is, you know, that the hearing can actually allow one to go past the influences in this Kali Yuga. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, in the first chapter, in the 51st verse, this idea of Srila Prabhupada is reiterated in that in the verse there's mention that overcoming the corrupting influences, both of the qualities of the people, I mean horrific qualities, and the generally negative environment, is done in this way. So this is in the 12th canto, the first chapter. This is the verse. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there's still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. So, extremely powerful. That same personality whose pastimes Maharaj Parikshit is wanting to hear about, just chanting the Maha Mantra, so connecting to that Supreme Personality, is allowing one to become free from all these corrupting influences of the age, this thievery, this hatred, this falsehood, this fraudulence, this egotism. and one will actually be freed from having to even return to this planet or in any other material planet, even in the subterranean realm. So, and of course even be promoted to the transcendental kingdom, which is, you know, quite impossible to imagine considering one is so immersed in this awful atmosphere. So, if one examines the statement of Srila Prabhupada again, that the hearing of Krishna's glorious activities has the result that persons are liberated from bondage of repeated birth and death, we can look at a very interesting analogy that's there to help with this understanding. So a person may be very diseased, but the person's still very active. So I can use my poor husband as an example. I mean, he has some toxins in his joints, so his movement has been restricted. So, but he's very active. You know, he'll, recently we had to move and he carried boxes. But, you know, it's very painful. All the activity is painful. But once the disease is removed or the person becomes free from that disease, then all the activities that a person performs in a healthy state, they can even become pleasurable. So in the case of my husband, you know, having to, you know, very stiffly move his arm after having lifted a box, you know, with the freeing up of the toxins and hence the arthritic condition, then, you know, he can happily move his arm in a relaxed way once that box is put down. So it's much more pleasurable being able to perform some activity. So that's the analogy that's there. it comes from Krishna book, that a person who's hearing about the pastimes of Krishna is hearing about the supreme relishable object. And that person is trying to be liberated. So, you know, the arthritic person is taking the various Ayurvedic powders, you know, is massaging the various Ayurvedic creams. And in the same way, the person hearing about the supreme relishable object is trying to become free from being in this very diseased condition, being constricted by, in this horrible atmosphere, suffering from some of those bad qualities himself, herself. And it means that the person isn't, by hearing, the person isn't exclusively performing material activities anymore. so the same thing with the arthritic person. The person is still suffering, but is gradually becoming free from that constriction. So now yesterday, in yesterday's class, there was mention of the progressive nature of hearing. So indeed, one can say that it's through the study of Bhagavad Gita that one becomes fully conscious of the position of Krishna. So when one is situated at the lotus feet of Krishna, one understands who this great personality is. Then one can hear these narrations of Krishna as they're described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And these narrations that Srila Sukadev Goswami is describing and that Maharaj Parikshit is asking to hear about. so one is able to move forward in one's Krishna Katha. One's able to get better understanding. So one's moving from the narration of the philosophy of the science of God, spoken by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, to actually being able to comprehend the narrations with the proper perspective. Because, you know, if you're just hearing it, it's interesting, but one may not have the proper perspective. And one is understanding, able to understand, too, the very liberating nature of hearing about the pastimes. So Maharaj Parikshit here, he's clarifying his intention. That's what Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur says by his second repeat request to hear more about the glorious activities. So this is Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur in Sarita Darshini. So Maharaj Parikshit's desire to hear about the glorious activities of Lord Krishna from the beginning of his time on earth to the end is interesting, because if we were to look at the narration of Lord Krishna's life on this earth, we can consider the environment that was in existence at that time. So it tells you a great deal about the personality. So it's described that it was such an auspicious time for the appearance of Lord Krishna that the entire universe was surcharged with all the qualities of goodness, beauty, and peace. And the constellation Rohini appeared, as did stars like the Ashwini. These are auspicious stars. The sun, moon, and the other stars and planets were very powerful, so they were at their peak when Krishna appeared. And all directions appeared extremely pleasing, and the beautiful stars twinkled in the cloudless sky. Decorated with towns, villages, mines, and pasturing grounds, the earth seemed all auspicious. So this is the description at the time of Krishna's appearance. So some understanding of this extraordinary supreme person coming to this earth, how everything became aligned in order, peacefulness, goodness, beauty, everything is present. I mean, naturally, when you contrast it with what I've just described, it's rather extraordinary. So at the time of Lord Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. And continuing with this narration of the beginning of Lord Krishna's life, the description in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that all the celestial denizens were busy too, and this is a description. The Kumaras, the Gandharvas began to sing auspicious songs, the Siddhas and Charanas offered auspicious prayers, and the Vidyaharas, along with the Apsaras, began to dance in jubilation. So in this purport today, we read how these planets with more advanced human beings. So this is an indication of those advanced human beings. Just by Lord Krishna appearing on this earth, they were responding in their realms with songs and feeling great jubilation. So the consciousness is such they understand. It's not happening on their planet, but they're understanding the appearance of Lord Krishna on this earth. So, and then it continues, the demigods and great saintly persons showered flowers in a joyous mood, and clouds gathered in the sky and very mildly thundered, making sounds like those of the ocean waves. So the whole environment is perfectly auspicious and beautiful, and the inhabitants of the higher planetary systems are feeling great jubilation. They're even physically showering flower petals. So, that's the subtlety of the consciousness. And the description carries on. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in the heart of everyone, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon, because Devaki was of the same category as Krishna. So Maharaj Parikshit's earlier request to Sukadev Goswami got fulfilled, because this description that I've read was narrated by Srila Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, because he wanted to know, tell me about the beginning. So we heard this too. This was the beginning of Krishna's appearance. Now, of course, Krishna's appearance, his birth, isn't ordinary, because he's already present within the core of everyone's heart. And he's Antaryami, the super soul. So the reason why he was able to also appear And this is, I should say, this is the reason why he was also able to appear outside the body. So he's present already within the body. So naturally, should he choose to appear externally, no problem. And it's said that he was present in his full potency within Devaki's heart. So his appearing, and this is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur commenting on this particular verse that we're reading today, where Maharaj Parikshit is requesting Sukadev Goswami to speak more about Krishna's pastimes, is due to his having been requested by mankind. That's what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. Hence he appeared on earth, as opposed to his being requested by the demigods. So there was so much distress in the hearts of persons on this earth, and that is what Krishna was responding to. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is highlighting that it was a request of mankind. I mean, just Krishna's appearing at the end of Dwapara Yuga, so the environment isn't as awful as it is now even, but still there was distress. And that reason for that distress is given. Srila Sukadev Goswami, he describes that it was when Mother Earth was overburdened by hundreds and thousands of military phalanxes of various conceited demons dressed like kings. So we heard from the Matsya Purana that in this age, sudras are becoming kings. So at that time, the description is that it was conceited demons who were dressed as kings. So demoniac entities, certainly not in a state of goodness. So all these horrible qualities, this whole environment that we're hearing about in Kali Yuga, I guess it was sort of embodied in those demoniac entities that were actually leading whole phalanxes of armies. So warring was happening at that time when Krishna was to appear and appeared. And that was the time when Bhumi approached Lord Brahma for relief. So now, as a side note, with reference to Srila Jiva Goswami in his Tattva Sandarbha, and I looked at this because I was thinking about how the different acharyas are commenting, and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is commenting that it was the distress of mankind that brought Krishna appearing to the earth. And when we're reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're just hearing about the demons leading the phalanxes. Srila Jiva Goswami particularly, he points out that usually whatever the original founder of a school of thought might have said, then generations that of commentators that follow that original person, whatever they're adding is just elaborating on the original teaching. So it means that among Vaishnavas or Vedantas, Vaishnava Vedantas, there's always adherence to the opinions of the previous acharyas. So that doesn't change. Because they merely, it's not merely a matter of intellectual integrity that that's that way. But in fact, it's an essential spiritual principle. One has to give elaborations that support the original teaching. So so it means that the Vaishnava Vedantas isn't uncovering reality by their own individual or collective strength, but rather they're depending on the revealed knowledge. And so I was thinking about that just because it was interesting, you know, this point that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was emphasizing, and I was just trying to make the connection, and then it brought to mind looking at how Srila Jiva Goswami is, I guess, fully supporting the fact that each commentator is supporting original teaching, and the original teaching, of course, is Lord Krishna's. So so following on the spiritual principle, Srila Prabhupada comments on this narration of the beginning of Krishna's appearance, or rather the reason for that appearance. And he said that he also says that when the world is overwhelmed by unnecessary military arrangements, and when various demoniac kings are the executive heads of states, it is a burden, and hence the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Lord's been requested by mankind, as per Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is that religious practice was on the decline. It means that righteousness was fading away. So that was the situation on the earth. Righteousness was fading away. And so if we go back to the original teaching that commentator Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, that original teaching of Lord Krishna is his statement that whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, a descendant of Bharata, these are his words, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So that's Bhagavad Gita 4:7. Yadahi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata adyatutanam adharmasya tadamanam srijamyaham. So the Lord with his eternally existent form, he's appearing as he is, and he's appearing on schedule. So this is the interesting part. So all the previous incarnations, the description is there in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. They are considered to be, these are the words used in Srimad Bhagavatam, plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, he's the personality that came to earth. So all the incarnations, they appear on planets wherever there's a disturbance created by the atheists. That's the statement in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's some disturbance created by atheists. And the Lord incarnates to protect the theists. That's the statement in the third canto. So although he's scheduled to appear at the end of Dwapara Yuga, he is eternally the original personality of Godhead. And by his arrangement, he can appear and disappear over time. And whatever power is required, he can manifest. So in his form as Lord Krishna, he displays, and this is Satsvarup Maharaj's statement, he says Krishna displays 100% of his powers as Lord Krishna appearing on this earth. 100% of his powers, he displays everything. And yesterday's class, and this is a little side note, touched on this point that in particular, he doesn't confine himself to human morality, but he does everything according to his own enjoyment. Of course, with the highest morality possible. now, here Srila Prabhupada's talking about the same Lord Krishna, and we've heard, I mean, I've tried to describe something of what Srila Sukadev Goswami had narrated to Maharaj Parikshit based on his first request of wanting to hear about the beginning of Lord Krishna's appearance. And now we're hearing that actually Krishna was playing as a human child. So with all this that we've understood, at this moment in time, it just appears that he's playing like a human child. And now, there's, in Maharaj Parikshit's request to Sukadev Goswami, one can understand that Krishna especially blessed human society by coming in his original form, displaying 100% of his powers and abilities. I mean, it's very extraordinary. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is emphasizing that, the great blessing that's there for human society. So taking into account, you know, the horror of this age, just understanding that Krishna chose to appear at that cusp, I mean, prior to this age, but that we're getting this opportunity to hear about all his glorious activities, which Parikshit Maharaj is asking for more of. We understand the great blessing that's there. And why there's this blessing in terms of hearing the narration of these activities is that Lord Krishna is protecting a Vedic principle. The narration is allowing an increased surrender to him. So in the midst of all this thievery, fraudulence, hatred, egotism, one's getting that opportunity to actually look to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So that's what he's protecting by his appearance. He appears to protect this principle that's allowing one to look to him for and surrender to him. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he interestingly paraphrases what Lord Krishna's thought is, or his thinking process is. So I'm going to read how he puts it, that Lord Krishna's thought process is. This is in line with this idea of protecting this principle of increasing surrender to him. So hence the pastimes and activities and the narration thereof by those in the disciplic succession. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes Krishna's thinking. This is Krishna talking. I appear when I cannot tolerate both the destruction of dharma and the increase of adharma. In order to reverse the situation, I create my body. I show that body, which exists eternally as if it were created by my energy. So this is Krishna talking of himself, what it is that prompts him to appear and perform his glorious activities and how he does it. So I appreciate Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's putting Lord Krishna's thought down. So so this is what Maharaj Parikshit, why he's actually requesting Srila Sukadev Goswami to hear about those activities of Lord Krishna. He's wanting that protection of dharma or religious codes, and he's wanting the opportunity to be there for everyone to, through hearing the narrations, to be able to go further into surrendering to Lord Krishna, this extraordinary personality that brings all auspiciousness at all times. And it gives the opportunity for human society to move to a spiritual platform, which is that level of existence in which one can live a truly beneficial life, as opposed to just being battered by the horrible qualities existent in this age. So those are some thoughts on this particular verse, this request of Maharaj, or repeated request of Maharaj Parikshit to Srila Sukadev Goswami. If there's any thought on the discussion.
Really need to put in Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that in other planet, you know, the activities of Krishna must be so advanced, means you know, because the inhabitants are advanced there. So I was wondering what activities must be more interesting than this planet. Although yeah. Krishna was performing in the lap of Mother Yashoda, such big killing, so much big Putana and others, and here it is mentioned that it is wonderful. And similarly, if you compare in other planet, can you guess or can you give some glimpse?
Well, the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes all the incarnations of Lord Krishna. And again, it's for a particular reason that Krishna is appearing, and it's always the same reason. So it doesn't matter if it's here, if it's on another planet, another universe, wherever it is, it's for the same reason that he's appearing. And that is that he's not liking the breakdown of religious principles, and he's wanting to correct that shift from religious principles. So that is the purpose of his appearance. And then the amount of power that he's using, and that's what's been alluded to, that on a different planet, you know, a different kind of power may be used that enchants everybody in a different way. That is according to what's needed to restore those religious principles. So the example of on this earthly planet, that the killing of somebody who turned out to be 12 miles long and was gigantic was able to be killed by a supposedly very vulnerable baby is mind-blowing. It captures the imagination, and one is enthralled just visualizing such an event. The fact that elsewhere it may take a different form, we get that example of in the heavenly planets when there was the battle between the demons and the demigods, and Krishna, or Supreme Personality of Godhead, took the form of Mohini Murti. So there's an example of, again, you know, there was a need to re-establish religious principles, and so the appropriate form was taken. An extremely exquisite woman. I mean, there's the description of the slender waist and the beautiful movements, and it was necessary there because the demons had to, Krishna or Mohini Murti, in the form of Mohini Murti, he needed to bewilder the minds of the demons and shift things back in favor of the demigods. So hence the nectar of immortality was lost by the demons simply being enchanted by this beautiful form, this female form. So the nectar of immortality went into the right hands. I mean, that's an example. I mean, it's very subtle. You know, it's dealing with, you know, just the nectar of immortality. Over here, one is dealing with an entire atmosphere of horrific qualities on a daily basis. I mean, fraudulence, thievery, dishonesty. I mean, one is sullied just by being present in the environment. So hearing these glorious activity where Krishna is displaying 100% of his powers. So it's all out. We're getting every extraordinary thing imaginable and is needed because of what we find ourselves in, the environment we find ourselves in. It's not to decry or to make a comparison that these are lesser because, you know, humans are not advanced as demigods. Not necessarily from that perspective. It's not lesser. In fact, it's more extraordinary because he's putting 100%. This is Satsvarup Maharaj. He actually put it, Krishna puts 100% of his powers into his appearance as Lord Krishna on this earth. So we're getting everything, the very best, the most extraordinary, because it's needed. So it's not lesser. So the idea that there may be something more exciting, indeed, but it's according to what's required to reestablish religious principles. And over here, the need is so dire that 100% of the powers are used. So it's very extraordinary, each and every pastime. So we can understand the enthusiasm of Maharaj Parikshit wanting Srila Sukadev Goswami to narrate more of the glorious activities. So, yes, we may be certainly a great deal less intelligent, less subtle than demigods and heavenly entities, but Krishna's glorious activities are extremely glorious. So that we the audience is not a reflection on us being the audience. It's a reflection on Krishna's perfection and beauty.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for the class. At the beginning of your comments, you alluded a comment by Divine Grace about the similitude and Krishna's advent and Jesus Christ. Can you elaborate a little bit more about it?
I don't think I did.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Somehow, perhaps it was on your mind. But if there's something you want to know, you can word a question, we can look at it. Yeah, no, I didn't quote anything on Srila Prabhupada referencing the advent of another great personality, but rather just on the Krishna in his incarnation as Lord Krishna at this time, although he can appear in other forms. according to what's needed to reestablish religious principles. Yeah, so I guess if one were to consider the appearance of Jesus Christ as a personality that was concerned with religious principles, then certainly you see the same thing in operation because from what I recall, the most of his life was spent doing activities that captured the imagination of the people of that time. So it was necessary to perform, I think they were called miracles, because he was actually helping or, you know, touching persons and their disease was falling away. So it's a very graphic illustration of, you know, taking shelter of that personality could allow some even gross manifestation of disease to fall away. I mean, in our case, we're talking about very subtle disease. We're talking about that disease of, you know, staying with these bad qualities and existing on a dull material plane, but wanting to move away from that and surrender to the Supreme Lord. And the cure for that disease isn't, you know, physical touch, which I guess Jesus Christ was doing, but rather it's the hearing. Just the subtle hearing of the narrations does the same thing. It's cleansing the heart. So it's much more subtle, but that personality appeared to also teach religious principles. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Mother Krishna, Arjuna Mahasaya. Thank you for your class. You made a lot of nice, wonderful points. Something that brought to mind, one of the points you mentioned in class, is that you mentioned how Subal Prabhu was suffering with his difficulties, arthritis, and A lot of times when we go through difficulties, we think this is a curse, but we learn from the scriptures that it's generally sometimes considered a blessing. Like Bhaktisiddhanta once said, it is better to have bad health with Hari Bhajan than good health without Hari Bhajan. And in the 10th canto, one point that I really appreciated from Narada Muni, this is from the 10th canto, 10th chapter. In that section, Narada Muni says there are two types of austerities, voluntary and involuntary. Voluntary will be probably what Prabhupada did, come to the West without any money, but just on his faith alone, poor health, etc. That's voluntarily put yourself in difficulty. Involuntary is when we have some difficulty, like you were mentioning with Subal Prabhu. And in this section, Narada Muni says that when one is suffering from whatever particular disease or finances, he said this is good because when you're not suffering from these things, for example, when you're suffering, you have no time to worry about who's getting more popularity than you. When Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die within 7 days, if someone had told him, I know a better king than you, or somebody said you were a bogus king, he's not going to get up from hearing Bhagavatam class to set that person straight. Why? Because he's on his deathbed. And so that's why Narada Muni says that when you're eating sumptuously every day, your health is good, you have riches, then you cause problems for yourself. Who's getting more attention to me? And so that's what I really appreciate. So my further comments, maybe you collaborate on, is that sometimes, another type of disease is not being able to control our senses. You know, we're lusty, etc. But one obstacle that we hear in the scriptures that may not be emphasized is that another obstacle to bhakti is controlling the senses. That may be a little unorthodox, but we see that people who consider themselves very self-controlled and pure, like Durvasa Muni, he was like, I'm self-controlled, I'm renunciate, I'm pure. Why is Ambarish Maharaj getting more attention to me? He's a householder. And so a lot of times when we say control the senses, we think of, oh, let me just control our lust. But we don't consider, maybe I should control my pride. And the reason I appreciate this, I'll mention a couple of other pastimes. In the Haridasa Thakur pastime, this is from the Charitamrita, Anshalila, chapter 3. In that pastime, it describes that when Haridasa Thakur purified the prostitute, after 3 days, it's described that she became an exalted Vaishnava and people would take her guidance. She was a prostitute. And so naturally, if a prostitute was asked to give a Bhagavatam class, and we weren't, we might become envious because we're like, I'm not a prostitute. How come I wasn't asked to give Bhagavatam class? So that's the situation. Sometimes we consider ourselves more pure than others, and we think, why are they getting more attention to me? So there's a verse that says, Primeta swabhav yaham primeta sambandha semane krishna modanahi primaganda. This is from the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The chapter is called Shishashaka. This verse says, whenever there's a love of God, the devotee thinks that he's nahi primaganda. He thinks, I don't have one drop of love for Krishna. And so it's easy to say that when we're being honored, but try to maintain that mentality when somebody else is honored, especially when you think you're more pure than them, like Durvasa Muni. And so that's why I appreciate the last point you were mentioning about Lord Jesus Christ. He just touched people. He healed people. He was a PhD doctor, a pretty humble devotee. And we see that doctors are attracted to diseased people. They're not attracted to people who come to the hospital and don't have a disease. So in the Bible, Lord Jesus Christ said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So to the degree we think we're diseased, not think and know we're diseased, and to that degree, you know, we could attract the mercy of the Lord. Basically, I'll just end with one last quote I appreciate, because also in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya also mentions the community of Vaishnavas. He said that when Jagamadai committed all these sins, he says, I've purified them now. And if you committed offense against them, then you'll fall down because you think you're more pure than them. So there's a quote that I really appreciate. It says, the reason the rearview mirror is smaller than the windshield on your car is because what's in your past is not nearly as important as what's in your future. We see that if you're absorbed in your past, like your rearview mirror, then you're going to get in a car accident. In the same way, Lord Chaitanya says, if you're also absorbed in somebody else's rearview mirror, you'll get in a car accident by finding fault with others. So what are some points to maintain the understanding that controlling the senses doesn't mean just controlling lust? We're so emphasized on controlling our lust, but not controlling our pride, thinking we're superior and peer. So what are some points we could do to give up this mentality that causes, you know, we want to harm others, drag them down, or like the Rasamuni. There's so many pastimes like that. So anyway, so that's some points I kind of want to make. So.
Well, it's going to require me to sort through a few directions you were going in, Jai Baladev. So let me try. You've challenged me. I'm going to have to work very hard today. Let me see. the latter part of your concern had to do with which led up to the question you finally posed, had to do with particularly two bad qualities. One was of, I guess, being dishonored based on the perception that one deserves more honor. And the other one you brought up, the other bad quality you brought up was lust, but you felt that that one was a given, that it had to be controlled. But you were particularly pointing to the bad quality of being dishonored and how one actually deals with that feeling dishonored. So I'm jumping to the nitty-gritty because there were various other areas you touched on, but I think you honed it down to that. I mean, this is one of the bad qualities that are present in Kali Yuga as listed in Matsya Purana that I was highlighting, and that's egotism. So the ego is that part of one's thinking process. It's like a whole category where one has formed a picture of oneself. So the picture one's formed of oneself in the case of experiencing being dishonored means that the picture's got challenged. So the picture one's formed of oneself, I mean, you gave the example, perhaps on a personal level, where one may feel that one understands Krishna conscious philosophy fairly well, and one may be able to present Krishna conscious philosophy fairly well, but then finding that actually one isn't being put in that position. So in one's picture of oneself, that's the egotism part, one is perceiving oneself as being qualified to perform a particular activity, but then the external world is not putting one in that position. So this is naturally causing disturbance because it's a disturbance to that perfect picture one has of oneself, or that picture one has with certain beliefs about oneself or an understanding of oneself, but somehow there's a mismatch with the outside world and it's causing disturbance. So how does one tackle that? I mean, it's very real. So since this topic today was very much concerned with how hearing the narrations about Lord Krishna's pastimes can counteract bad qualities, which includes egotism. So a very nice narration that perhaps one can really pay super attention to is when Lord Brahma decides to steal the cowherd boys and their calves. And this is directly, I think, looking at that kind of egotistical part, because it's a concept of, oh, who's this little boy holding a lump of yogurt in his hand? Can't be the Supreme Personality of God. He's just a little boy. So their desire to assert one's power is there. And that's what the ego does. There's a desire to assert one's power in some way. So Lord Brahma gets terribly humbled. So it might be a fantastic thing to hear that pastime with great attention, so that something of what is one's own struggle can be looked at, because the narration has that kind of purifying effect, that one turns to Krishna for help. I mean, that's just hearing the pastime can allow one to acknowledge the humiliation that goes along with trying to assert one's power according to the ego. I mean, there's humiliation involved in some way or other, because there's the external environment's not supporting it. So that was what Lord Brahma had to experience. There was some humiliation. So hearing the pastime can be very liberating in some sense, because it frees that disturbance that, oh, he has a very elevated personality who's had to go through, you know, getting pounded, discovering that his attempt at asserting his power went nowhere. So that's one thing. And the other is also actually being very kind to oneself, seeing it as that one's suffering with one's ego. It's not that the external world is making one suffer, it's one's ego is making one suffer. So how one changes a belief, or should one change a belief even is the question too. No, one finds the small arena where one can indeed utilize one's knowledge, one's understanding of Krishna conscious philosophy. One finds that space. So it may not be where one's thinking it should be, but it can be in a different space. And so satisfaction can still come, because any devotional activity is equally satisfying. So it may not be on a podium, maybe in a one-to-one interaction. That's equally satisfying. And so one accepts, you know, this is how Krishna, since he's in charge of all devotional related activities, how he's making the arrangement. So just like Lord Brahma, one bows down to Lord Krishna and accepts it and tells one's ego, see, you're still getting satisfied. Your belief is fine, but it's been allowed in this area, not in that area. That's fine. One makes an adjustment. It's part of growth. So thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Yes. Okay, I'll get up now.